Welcome to the one, the only Motherhood in Hollywood. Today's episode is sponsored by BumbyBox. BumbyBox is a better way to play. BumbyBox is an eco-friendly toy subscription service that sends curated toys to your door so you and your family can create special memories together. And one cool thing about BumbyBox, when you get this box of toys, you can rest easy and rest assured knowing that they are free of chemicals and harmful plastics because they are fully sustainable toys. They've also been specifically chosen for your child's interest and age level. So that can give a lot of peace of mind for parents who sometimes don't know what to play with, where it's coming from. BumbyBox can help you with that. Go to BumbyBox.com and enter the code MIHOOD at checkout and you'll get 10% off from Motherhood in Hollywood. And BumbyBox, a better way to play.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hello, happy MIH Monday. Welcome to another episode of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker. This is my show. Thank you for joining me. What can we talk about today in the mommy monologue? What's happening? Well, it's Memorial Day weekend. I hope you guys, whatever you have going on for this week is very fun and involves some kind of liquory beverage. I'm hoping that as well. And I want to really quickly do a little bit of house cleaning, a little bit of self-promotion. I have a brand new podcast, if you haven't heard of it yet. It's called Booze and Phasers, and it's with my friend Claudia Dolph and Audrey Kearns. And it's just twice a month, and we get together and we drink and we talk about Star Trek. That's basically it. We make up a little Star Trekky themed boozy drink and we talk about our love, our mutual love for Star Trek. So if you want to check that out on iTunes, you can. It's called Booze and Phasers. If you're into that, if you're not, you can just skip it. Just skip it. Also, this week I had the opportunity to go and see, or I should say this past week, I had the opportunity to go and see Alice Through the Looking Glass, which was really cool. A special screening Disney. It was at the El Capitan Theater, but it was from Disney. And it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot. And then Wonderwall, which I don't know if you're familiar with, an entertainment website, invited me to go and do a Facebook Live chat with them, which was so much fun. And I did it to talk about Alice Through the Looking Glass and, you know, why everybody was hating on it. There's so many reviewers that are just hating it. Like, it's terrible. And what you should be, you know, hating on is all of these accusations that are coming out of Johnny Depp. What the hell? Do we think this is planned? Like, the timing of this is so strange. If you didn't read about it, it's Johnny Depp's wife, Amber Heard, is filed for divorce like a day before his new movie was released and accused him of abuse and had these pictures come out where she'd clearly been, you know, hit in the face or something had happened. And I was just kind of surprised that, you know, this is not something we've ever heard about Johnny Depp before. So, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to reserve judgment until all of the facts have been brought to light. But it just the timing of it seems very suspicious, right, at his when his movie is released. So think about that. And real quick over on Twitter, I want to say welcome to a couple of new Twitter followers. We have at Way Crunchy. Hello. Thanks for following me. And who else? Oh, Christy Sheehan and Leslie Diana. I hope I'm saying your name right. Thank you guys so much for finding MIH Podcast on Twitter. You guys, you can go and do that too. MIH Podcast on Twitter. And then search for Motherhood in Hollywood on Facebook and Instagram. And you could stay abreast of all of the happenings here at MIH Podcast. Also, I want to say, oh, my guest today. I'm so excited. All right. So I had a really like interesting and funny discussion with my guest, Morgan Shanahan. She is the parenting editor for BuzzFeed. And we talk about what are the criteria basically to make a video go viral. I've always kind of wondered that myself. I mean, obviously once it's reached the millions, you know, it's a viral video, but like not only that, but who are the powers that be in the internet world that kind that can help videos get viral, that can help people's memes or posts or whatever go viral. And that's all very fascinating to me. And that's kind of what a big part of what they do at BuzzFeed is they want to be in the middle of all of the buzz, what everyone's talking about, and sort of be the impetus for that. We talk a lot about that. She shares some very intimate stories and information about her dealings with postpartum depression. It's something that affects a lot of women and seemingly out of the blue. Like nobody expects it. Nobody expects to be affected by postpartum depression. And she got really intimate and really heartfelt with that. So I'm so grateful for her for sharing that side of what happened during her pregnancy. And we also had a lot of fun talking about celebrities and mutual adoration of Ryan Reynolds. Oh my God, he's a married man. Stop it. So make sure, yeah, so this is a really great episode. Make sure you continue to listen. I started to say check it out, but obviously that's what you're doing right now. And as far as everything goes in my world, Channing is now going to be home with me for a few weeks because summer school doesn't start for a few weeks. And I find myself kind of going, what the hell are we going to do? All day, every day. Because at least before I would get like, she goes to preschool a couple days a week and I would get a few hours to do podcast stuff, to take a shower, you know, sometimes leave my house and just get lots of things done. And now that she's going to be home, I'm kind of like, I need ideas. I find myself like looking at Pinterest, like, what can I make? Let's make a tree. We can make a Pinterest tree, right? I'm trying to come up with ideas for her playroom. It's all like this really dark wood paneling. And it's hard to decorate wood paneling. I don't necessarily want to paint over it. I mean, I guess I could, but I don't necessarily want to paint over it because it's a massive amount of wood paneling. So we're calling it, we call it the playroom, but also it's kind of like a forest. Like that's what I want to do. I would like to transition it into like a forest kind of room, maybe put up some fake trees and some greenery, but I don't know how that will look. I'm so bad at crafts. I'm terrible at making things. So I'm afraid it might just end up looking like this dark and creepy room. Like, here you go. Go and play this scary room mom made for you. Love ya. Arts and crafts is definitely not my strong point. As far as like acting goes, I've gotten some really great suggestions on acting classes. But you know what frustrates me as an actor in LA and as a parent, that there are not any acting classes that offer childcare. Have you noticed that? If you're an actress if you're an actor dad, actor mom, actor dad, there are no classes in Los Angeles where that also have childcare. And I'm so shocked by this. It's 2016. And you would think that by now people would go, oh, there are families. And actors by their nature, we all have sort of freelance lives. So a lot of people are at home and able to take classes during the day or even, you know, most of them in the evening. So it just surprises me that there's no acting studios that have childcare. If you know of any or if you've heard of any, let me know. I'm actually going to reach out to some of my actor teacher friends and find out why. What the hell? Because I would come to your class. Absolutely. If you had, you know, for a couple of hours, if you had childcare and I would pay for it. So something to think about, acting teachers. All right. So I want to right away get to this interview with Morgan Shanahan. I loved talking to her. It was so much fun. She's such a chill and cool mom. And I think you guys are really going to love it as well. So here's my interview with BuzzFeed parenting editor, Morgan Shanahan.
And I'm a mom and I'm a writer and recently I've become a bit of a video performer.
Oh yes.
That's unexpected.
That's totally something new for you.
Totally new for me.
Okay, you guys. So before before I get too inside of Morgan's head, I should tell you who I'm talking to today. It's Morgan Shanahan. She is editor-in-chief extraordinaire of BuzzFeed.
No. Senior editor. At BuzzFeed.
I'm just gonna give you that title, extraordinaire.
Ben Smith won't mind if I just take his editor-in-chief title. That'll be fine.
Here on Motherhood in Hollywood, we can just name people whatever we want.
I love that.
I've decided
It's your show, man.
Yay. And I also want to tell you guys, Morgan and I are having some wine. So, you know, good times are ahead. Also, woo, having the short time I've known Morgan, I feel like she's also like me, where she will just not hold back.
No.
And tell it like it is, which I appreciate. So cheers to you. Thank cheers you for coming to our show. Okay?
Thank you for yay having me on your show.
So I want to talk to you. Let's just start with BuzzFeed right off the bat. Because the videos you put out are hilarious. The lists you're doing, all of that stuff are so thank great. You. So how did it come about that you're working at BuzzFeed?
Okay, so I was not looking for a job, but I feel like when BuzzFeed comes calling, you answer, totally, kind of. You know, so I heard that BuzzFeed was looking to start a parenting vertical. They were looking for a parenting editor, and I jumped on it, and it was a very – I was not – I mean, I had my own site, the818.com, which was my how I made my living for 5 years.
Wow.
So I had no intention of leaving that behind, but this opportunity just felt like where I wanted to be. And it was an immediate, like, click with everybody who I now work with, and it just – I couldn't have asked for, like, a better transition into the – traditional working world, which is not that traditional. I mean, I have fire
no,
engine
I would
red
not
hair
think of BuzzFeed as like a traditional place to work out. It seems like everyone is super hip and like very cool. Like they were
very 22.
Very 22. I feel like I would go in and they'd be like, please go back to JCPenney, ma'am. You do not belong. Are you lost? That's what they would say to me. And I'd be like, I am lost, actually. Where is
we call ourselves the olds there.
The olds? What are you, like 29?
Oh my God, I love you. Yeah. I'm 34. Oh, but anyone over 30, we're like the olds.
Oh, the olds. Yeah. BuzzFeed is very young. They skew very young. It's very hip. You guys have to be on top of the current, you know, chatter of social media all the time. How is that different when you're talking about mom stuff?
You know what? That for me was seamless.
Or parenting stuff,
because
I
have been a part of the parenting online community for going on 7.5 years. So it was so natural to me to take what was just like sort of my friend feed, but happened to be all of these really talented writers and bloggers and content creators, and transfer that over and start just showcasing some of that stuff on BuzzFeed. You know, I feel like the community that I'm part of online has their finger so on the pulse that something comes through my feed almost, you know, it's like Chewbacca mom will come through my feed.
Oh, I was hoping you'd bring up Chewbacca mom, because if you didn't, I was going to.
Well, we have to talk about that in a second.
She's my nemesis. Did you see my post that I put on Facebook that I was like, God damn it, if one more person compares me to this fat lip mom.
No, like, stop.
You should be Chewbacca mom. And I'm like, But also just as an actor, I'm insanely jealous of the fact that this lady got in her car with a stupid mask and went viral and was instantly on the Today Show, on James Corden, has reached a level of notoriety that I, as Heather Brooker, may never see. And it's so funny. My friend Jeff was like, oh, now don't you feel dumb for taking all those acting classes and like getting all those headshots and everything. And this bitch is like way more famous. And I'm like, I do feel bad. It really hurts my soul.
No, but I think here's the thing about that, because it's like, you know, I'm down with Chewbacca mom. Like, I feel like Chewbacca mom, I'm actually like proud of her, because she like had this incredible thing happen and like, holy shit, she got a publicist. She's smart.
It's insane.
Like, she's smart. She was on James Corden. She's good. Damn, Candace Payne. Damn, Candace.
Because this is not her first rodeo. And that's what I found out.
Oh, is it not?
No, she's auditioned for The Voice a few times. She's trying to be famous. So this was not. And also I read on her post a few, like maybe within an hour or two of it first being posted, that she was like, oh, I hope this goes viral, you know. She knew going into it what she was doing. So
that's
for
very
me, that
interesting.
Colors it
that
a little
does
bit.
Color it. Actually, I mean, bringing it back to BuzzFeed, I think that's something that like we're pretty cautious about in our coverage, is if we feel like there's viral intent, if we feel like somebody's put their kid in a situation they are trying to get attention for, we pass on those stories, because like, where will the world end up if we're all
absolutely
just, you know, like,
see, okay, now I'm actually really glad to hear you say that, because I wonder sometimes where's the barometer and who's making the decisions on, all right, am I going to help this, you know, train keep on going with right. this, what this crazy person is doing? Or, you know, or you could find a nugget like the Chewbacca mom and go, this is amazing, and blast out to all the BuzzFeed followers and help her to fame.
Yes. I mean, there's that is.
It's that much power. And like, how do you like, is that a weird
feeling? It's the most gratifying part of my job. Yeah. To be able to see something go mega viral and take off across the internet and be on all these different outlets because you found it somewhere mm-hmm. and see what happens to that person's life as a result is incredible. Like I.
But they probably don't ever thank you for it.
You know what? That, I'm going to say that's not true.
Oh, really?
So I had just this morning, one of my colleagues came up to me and he was like, Morgan, I was driving to work this morning and I heard your name on the radio. And it's because mm-hmm. there's a friend of mine, but was not originally a friend of mine. Her name's Kate Siegel, and mm-hmm. she has an Instagram account called Crazy Jewish Mom.
Oh, yeah. I think I follow her. I saw your post
and
about
so
her.
So she,
yeah.
She worked with my cousin. Mm-hmm. My cousin texted me and was like, you have to follow this girl. It's your mom. You have a crazy Jewish mom. And I watched it and I was like, my mom's not this funny, but like, but this is hilarious. And yeah. this is a BuzzFeed post. And I put it on BuzzFeed.
Right.
I like sat on it for a while, you know, but I like when I eventually put it on BuzzFeed, it got 3 million views in a day.
Wow.
She got over 300,000 follows on Instagram overnight.
Oh my God.
And now her book's on the New York Times bestseller list, Mother Can You Not? So every interview she does, she calls me out by name. And it's Kate, stop doing that, seriously. But now I'm calling you out by name.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, you don't want her to do that anymore?
I feel like she is the content creator.
Yeah.
She created this brilliant thing. I'm the lucky one who got the 3 million hits on BuzzFeed.
I was going to say, but you have the outlet to be able to do that. So what does that feel like when something goes viral? Like what is the mark of viral? 10,000, 100,000? Like, is there a mark? Obviously in the millions, but...
There is a mark, but for us, we look at shares more than we actually look at...
Like, views? Okay.
So... for us, viral is anything over what would be a 1.6 share, which would mean that like more than 50% of your traffic is coming from shares.
Okay.
So I always tell people like going viral means that you're getting most of your traffic.
Half of the people who
are. Right. Half of the half the traffic from elsewhere. So if you have 10 people that read your blog and you put up a post and 100 people read it that day, mm-hmm. it went viral because the 10 people who read it originally shared it with others.
That's so interesting.
So, you know, what is viral? I mean, at BuzzFeed, we're aiming for like at least 1 million, but that's at BuzzFeed, you know, and publishing a post on BuzzFeed, you're going to get like 40,000 views on it. Mm-hmm. So
that is fascinating to me. Is that something you had to learn a little bit about? Because I know you had your own blog, the 818, which is also fantastic and a great name for a blog. I'm mad that I didn't think of it first.
Valley Girls for Life.
Especially in the Valley. I know. I'm like, that's like everybody in LA, basically. So did you know a lot about like social media marketing and going viral and all that stuff before you went to BuzzFeed? Or is this something you kind of have been learning?
I mean, I started as a screenwriter. Like, mm-hmm. I was not a blog. Journalism, I still don't call myself a journalist. Mm-hmm. Like, blogging is sort of how I got into all of this. Mm-hmm. And it was because I started a blog because I was writing all these TV commercials and researching all these TV commercials and finding all this weird stuff on the internet. And I thought, oh, I'll start a blog just to, like, put all this weird stuff in one place. And very shortly thereafter, I got pregnant with my daughter. And I was depressed during my pregnancy. And so I found that I couldn't really nail pitches in the way that I once could. I couldn't really do anything but write about how I was feeling.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, talking about not feeling great during pregnancy was something that a lot of women related to.
Right.
So it just sort of naturally turned into... First, the audience grew, and then I just sort of naturally monetized it because I had to. I was an employee.
Of course.
So I did not have experience on this level of exposure, and that has been a crazy learning curve.
Yeah.
I had things go viral off of my own blog, mm-hmm. but, you know.
BuzzFeed just seems like it's a totally different level.
What I put out there, like, now, I mean – at least like 12 to 14 million people a month are seeing
That's crazy.
My content. So it is a totally different animal from like the 250,000 people that were seeing it when I was
right
freelancing and writing right on my own site.
So what I'm wondering then is feeling that you knowing that you have this massive audience that's going to see your post, are you worried that you're going to spell something wrong?
All the time. And grammar is really scary.
Grammar is really
It's like
scary.
The scariest thing in the world. And like, if you do, God forbid, spell something wrong, it's definitely going to be called out in the comments like 27 times. Like, just thank you. I want to thank the BuzzFeed commenters for proofreading everything that I've ever written and tweeting me if I ever make a typo. It's fantastic to know that you guys are so invested.
That kind of pressure for me, because I literally will agonize over, does this need a hyphen? Does this need to be italicized? Like, those are the kinds of things that take me days to publish a post.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I've just published something on Alice Through the Looking Glass, and I literally spent hours poring over it, and it was like three paragraphs.
Well, when I would write on the 818, like, I just didn't care. And
oh yeah, I'm sure.
You know, I just would write how I would write.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit different at BuzzFeed. I mean, we have copy editors and we have final reviews, and so hopefully there's not grammatical errors by the time it makes it to publish, but it definitely happens.
Yeah.
And when it happens, they let you know.
So I want to talk to you about the trolls.
Yes.
Because there are some nasty mother truckers.
Horrible. Oh my God.
What's wrong with people? Why do they think they can go on and be so nasty on the internet?
You know,
it's the question that may not ever be answered, but God, it pisses me off.
I once read an article in Psychology Today that said that internet trolls have like the same DSM check boxes as narcissists, sociopaths, and there's something else. Is there a third like personality mm-hmm. disorder that sadists. So
enjoy inflicting pain and humiliation.
Yeah. I think that these are people who, like, the first time I ever got a mean comment, it was from someone who told me on my website that I did not deserve to be nominated for an award. And that person didn't know that I was 5 weeks postpartum. I mean, they knew I was 5 weeks postpartum, but they didn't know that I was in the throes
Everything
of postpartum
through,
depression.
Yeah.
They didn't know that the reason I wasn't posting to my blog was because I couldn't get up off the floor. And they just looked, they had a picture of what my life was based on what they read on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to realize, I think everyone needs to realize that, like, nobody is putting 100% of themselves
nobody
on the
is.
Internet.
Nobody.
And I share a lot on the internet, and I'm still maybe putting 10% of my life out there.
Right.
You know, so it's like nobody is sharing everything. And I just remember thinking, wow, like, this person thinks I have a better life than they do. So what does their life look like?
Yeah. Like,
and that's kind of how I always try to approach trolls, is like, where are you emotionally that you want to tear someone apart like this?
Yeah.
And then it helped that it makes does it make you feel better?
I think it does. I think it genuinely people feel empowered by it, because look at, you know, TV shows have been brought back on the air. Celebrities have been, brought on bended knee to apologize for something they've done or haven't done or whatever, because of the power of the internet and people going, how dare you, fuck you, and all this stuff. Like, it's terrible, some of the things people put online and the reactions they get from it. You know?
I mean, what I think is incredible is just that, like, nobody would say this shit to your face.
No, of
right?
course not. No.
I mean, we laugh at work because we all have a job that we're told we're terrible at every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day someone says, I can't believe you got paid for this. Somebody says, like, you're a hack writer.
Of
Somebody
course.
Said, you know, if I don't get a, like, you just convinced me not to have children. Thanks, BuzzFeed. My name is BuzzFeed, by the way.
Thanks, BuzzFeed.
If that doesn't happen, I have not done my job for the day. You know?
I know,
like, it's just like inevitable that the hate will
God.
Come. And at first it was a learning curve. I had to really like lock down the settings on a lot of my social media stuff because people were coming to my wall and posting things on pictures
on
of my
your
daughter
personal, like,
on
Facebook?
My personal Facebook page.
Oh, see, that worries me. That's what I try to be you know, keep it privacy kind of strict.
Yeah,
on.
Now it's locked down. Now you can't do that. You can't just, you can come follow me and see my public posts.
Right.
But you can't just look through my photos and leave comments on my child's baby pictures.
Yeah. Were people being nasty about that?
When they want to be nasty, they find a way to get to you. You know, I think that when someone really gets worked up about something you've said, and honestly, if people aren't worked up, like, it wasn't worth publishing. You know, like, if everyone just loves it,
Do you think that that's part of the driving force for, like, BuzzFeed and social media stuff is to get a reaction out of people, whether it's good or bad?
I think it's to incite an emotion in people.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, like, that's what makes the internet tick. People share things that make them feel something. Make them feel smart, make them feel funny, make them feel, you know,
happy, like the whatever. Chewbacca
mom. Like the Chewbacca mom. Right. Exactly. You know, like they
everyone's
feel joy.
Like, this is the most magical thing I've seen. Thank you, internet, for bringing me joy.
But, like, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Why is she called Chewbacca mom?
I think because she's a mom.
Right.
And she put on the Chewbacca mask.
But why isn't she just, like, Chewbacca lady or Chewbacca woman?
I think probably because she's been telling everyone, oh, hey, Coles, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I don't have a lot of money, and that's why I'm excited to buy this mask. So everyone just sort of goes, oh, mom. I'm obviously very bitter, so I'm not a good person to ask. I'm so mad because I'm like, that could have been me. My friend Jill Simonia was like, why don't you do, like, the opposite version? You do Darth Mom, Darth Vader Mom.
Oh, my God, hilarious.
And I was like, battling moms. I think because she told everybody that she was a mom. And also Chewbacca Mom sounds fun and cool. Mm-hmm. It has a nice ring to it.
I just, like, that is my, and Chewbacca, it's probably because of the amount of time I spend talking about and thinking about motherhood. But I'm just like, why are we attaching mom to the end of everything? Or at the beginning? Like, why are we, like, mompreneurs and, like...
Mompreneurs. I saw on the Today Show today, there was some lady on there talking about the mind of the mompreneur. I don't know if it was a book she was pimping or what, because I couldn't... I didn't hear all of it. But she was talking about the mind of the mompreneur. And I think because mommy bloggers are becoming so powerful and so influential... Mm-hmm. In their with their followers and their devotees, that putting the word mom on something really does, like, it's motherhood in Hollywood. The reason I named it that is because I wanted to be able to talk about stuff with my daughter, but also talk about stuff that I'm interested in the world of entertainment. So I put motherhood in front of it that way. Also, it rhymed. And I liked that because I'm a nerd.
It looks really good on the logo.
And it looks great on the logo. But also, I don't think anyone would give two rat's ass if I was like, it's Heather in Hollywood.
Right.
Like, I don't think anybody would care.
No, so. And I totally, I mean, that aspect of it I get. You know, I think I am a mom blogger.
Right.
I mean, I have
you
been
are,
a mom
but
blogger.
Your blog doesn't have mom in it.
My blog does not have mom in it.
Which is great because that gives you a wide variety of topics to be able to cover. You know, you can not necessarily cover everything in the 818 because after a while you'd be like, Jesus, I got to get out of the valley. I got to cover something else. But I want to back up even
but
more.
But the 818 is awesome and the valley is cool. Awesome. And anyone who has valley hate can suck it.
Suck it. Suck it, Manhattan Beach.
Suck it, West Side.
I hate going to West LA. It is the worst.
Oh my God, it's so far away.
It is
the
so traffic far
is a
away.
Nightmare.
That's what people say to me when I'm like, I live in the Valley, and they're like, ew.
We have a mutual friend, Miss Laura Tremaine. I invited
her
to.
Yes, who I love.
Who introduced us, in fact. And I invited her to an event in Santa Monica
at
7 p.m. one day. And she was like, Morgan, I love you. I want to support you. But, like, Santa Monica, what were you thinking?
Yeah, I'm not going to Santa Monica for you. I get auditions every once in a while. There's a major commercial casting office in Santa Monica. And it seems like every commercial audition that I have is at 5 o'clock on a Friday in that office in Santa Monica. And I'm like, that's my whole day. I have to leave at noon. I have to pack a snack. It's like... I'm gone until 9 o'clock at night. It's ridiculous.
I used to have like very strict rules when I was screenwriting that I would only meet at 11 a.m. or 3 p.m.
Yeah. Like let's keep in mind where we live in right? this ridiculous city.
So like I wouldn't be like, I only meet at 11 a.m. or 3 p.m.
Right.
But those were the only times I would offer people right. because otherwise yeah. I was spending so much of my day in the car.
In the car.
It's like insane.
Yeah. So I want to talk about your screenwriting a little bit. Did you move out here to be a screenwriter?
I was born here.
Oh, that's right. I think I remember you telling me that you're a native.
I am a native, yes.
And you still are like
I
off the
west
side.
I was born in the 818, Heather.
What?
I'm a Valley girl.
For life.
For life.
So then like, totally. What made you go, oh, now I'm going to get into this crazy business they call show?
I wanted to make movies from the time I was 10 years old. I decided I was going to NYU film school when I won a video camera on a game show.
Oh, what game show?
It was called Pick Your Brain. Mark Summers was the host.
Oh, was it like a Nickelodeon?
I don't remember. It wasn't on Nickelodeon, but if you go to YouTube and you look for Pick Your Brain, my episode is on there, and it's like one of the few episodes that's on there. It's pretty funny.
And you won a video camera. That's amazing.
And I won a video camera. And then I saw the movie Reality Bites when I was like 12, right? And so then I was like, I'm going to be a documentarian. I'm Elena. Mm-hmm. And I took my video camera to like my summer camp, and I like made a documentary about like what the youth of America wanted to do with their lives.
That's fantastic.
Which would be amazing if I could find that tape actually yeah. now and track those people down. Oh, then I would God. Have a documentary.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But yeah, I was like, this is it. I didn't consider anything else. I applied to one school. I went to NYU. That was the only place I got in because that was the only place I applied.
Whoa, like talk about Hail Mary there. Jeez. Wow.
A serious Hail Mary.
You can have some more wine, by the way.
Yeah,
if you want.
Sorry I'm coughing. It just, that's fine. I do that sometimes.
It happens.
I'm a human being.
I'm a real person.
I'm a real live person.
I literally hack and cough on this podcast sometimes. I swear to God, people are probably like, does she have the croup? Like, what is wrong with her?
So, I did a Facebook Live yesterday and I kept having to like,
to turn and like,
I was like, oh God.
That's all the rage too. I just did one today for Wonderwall and that was a lot of fun. I talked about Alice Through the Looking Glass and that's like all the rage now. It makes me wonder if people are going to stop doing Periscope mm-hmm. and just do Facebook Live?
I don't know. Are I think it could be. I mean, Facebook Live, I feel like, is really...
It's taking off.
It's taking off in a major... Well, so BuzzFeed had, like, the first major event on Facebook Live, which mm-hmm. was the watermelon. I don't know if you saw the watermelon. Okay, so we put rubber bands around a watermelon.
Why?
Waited for it to explode, which it did.
What?
From the pressure.
How many? I thought I was thinking just like one or two.
No,
and I was like,
no.
I feel like
there were like two people.
Oh, and they were just kept
in
putting,
like full like hazmat gear, like putting rubber bands around a watermelon.
Oh my God.
So actually when Chewbacca mom.
Yeah.
She unseated us as the most viewed Facebook Live event.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's pretty crazy. Which is that's what the internet is amazing for. That
right.
like a random person can get on their not huge Facebook account mm-hmm. and end up with more reach than BuzzFeed,
right.
which has 10 million followers on Facebook.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
You were talking about, there was two things. We were talking about your screenwriting and your movie, Reality Bites.
How I got there.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah. So I went to NYU film school and I came back to LA like the day I finished my thesis film. And I got a job on a pilot yeah. as a PA. It was called Arrested Development.
Okay, I've never heard of it.
No,
Sounds like a terrible show. No, I'm kidding.
I decided that TV wasn't for me.
You hated it that much, or what?
Well, I actually liked it, but I just really wanted to be. I wanted to make movies.
You were like, I'm gonna be a filmmaker.
I mean, you go to NYU and they like shove auteur up your ass so hard, you can't, you know. So,
yeah.
So. I decided that I was going to go get like the agency job and I ended up working at a management company for several years and it was crazy town.
Like managing actors?
Yeah.
Or writers?
Actors and writers.
Oh
and
my God. Please tell me stories about asshole actors. It's my favorite.
Oh my God. Well, I don't even know what I can tell.
Like crazy famous people. That's my favorite.
I always feel weird about that. I have some good ones though.
You could like say their names rhyme with. Or you could tell me off mic,
I'll tell you.
I will not tell anyone.
But once,
because I sometimes will promise my guests that we can have secrets, and then the people listening,
we'll talk about
go,
it. I'll tell you who had to drive me home when I got so drunk at a party, I almost passed out, and had to drive my car. And
oh my God, that's
told
fun.
Me it smelled like hamsters. And then,
oh,
ended up having like a super big hit TV show that's still on the air like 10 years later.
Was it Bill Cosby?
Okay. God.
Is that too soon?
Bill Cosby?
Are you making a massive confession right now that you were the 75th victim of Bill Cosby?
It was not allegedly Bill Cosby. Oh, and he was a perfect gentleman.
All right.
I made it through the front door before I vomited.
All right. So you're definitely going to have to tell me that.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll tell you.
So you worked as a manager managing crazy actors.
Crazy actors and crazy writers and crazy directors. And I just thought, wow, what a fucking racket screenwriting is, man. Like, these guys don't even have to leave their house.
Yeah.
They make a lot of money. And I had kind of shot my wad on my student film, which was like, you know,
I spent
all the money I had.
You did. Oh, okay.
And I spent the money I won on the game show, as a matter of fact, to bring that full circle.
There you go. Oh, my gosh.
But it's so hard to be a filmmaker, as you know. It's mm-hmm. so hard to work in Hollywood. I mean, yeah. I was working at an A-list management company that produced tons of stuff that continues to be a major player.
Right.
And I was nominated for a DGA award for my short film, and not one fucking person there watched it, nor did they show up to the film festivals that I was at.
Wow.
So years later, when I started to have some success with writing, they were very confused about why I didn't bring them my work first, why I didn't give them the opportunity to represent me.
Oh, that's interesting.
Why I would be at Endeavor and not have called them. And it was like, no, you treated me really shitty. I don't want to be seen as the assistant that, you know.
Hey friends, I want to tell you a little bit more about BumbyBox. BumbyBox is a better way to play. So you want to go to BumbyBox.com to find out how you can get these cool boxes of toys and activities and songs and reading lists delivered right to your door every month. No need to go to Toys R Us. No need to spend time toiling around on Amazon when you can have all of these toys delivered right to your door and know that they've been specifically chosen for your child. So immediately you're going to love them. That's what happens when Channing gets her box every month. We can't wait to see what's inside and she can start playing. And don't forget to enter the code MIHOOD when you check out, and you will get 10% off of your order. Not a bad deal, guys. Am I right? You are right. Go right now to BumbyBox.com and find out why BumbyBox is a better way to play. I don't think that people in Hollywood, or even people in this industry, when they are being assholes, sometimes I truly don't think they realize that they're being assholes.
No, and I do get that.
I think they think, oh, well, I threw you a bone with this thing, so you should do it for me.
I mean, I had someone say to me, well, it was different. You know, I know that your script was sitting on my desk for 2 years, but you were my assistant, and I saw you as my assistant.
Oh, well, go fuck yourself then.
And I was all right, well, you should have read that script because now someone's buying it.
Yeah, exactly. So, sorry, you missed out. And that's what kills me, too, is that, and something I'm learning a lot about is the hierarchy of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the title of my next book.
Oh, my God, it's really good.
Or my first book, whichever. If you're, as you know, if you worked on set, the background actors got treated like garbage. The PAs are garbage. That's why everything, all the shit rolls down.
Rolls,
you know,
right downhill.
And the difference, because I did background for a while when I first came out here just to see what was going on set, to like, you know, educate myself and all of that. I've never been treated so poorly in my life. And I kept thinking, why do people do that? Like, there are people, professional people that do background as for a living. And then when I booked my first speaking part on a TV show, it was like night and day. Heather, what can I get you for breakfast? And I'm like, oh, nothing, I'm fine. And they're like, no, it's okay. We'll get it for you. And I'm like, no, I'll get it. It's okay. Like, I didn't want to bother anybody.
Yeah.
Like, I was so, it was
well,
so
you're conditioned,
ingrained
right?
in me. Yeah, to absolutely. Not upset anybody or you know, oh, no, no, I'm fine. Like, belittle myself somehow because I was just an actor on set.
Yeah.
And I do not think that now. That doesn't mean I go in guns blazing every time I get to go and do on set. But I certainly have a lot more confidence in myself. And I know that I'm bringing something to the table. But it just goes to show that no matter where you are, whether you're a screenwriter, whether you're a script assistant, you're a story editor, whatever your level is in this town, there's somebody that's, you know, top dog, and there's a definite hierarchy in the way they treat people.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, yeah. I was still an assistant when I started getting attention as a screenwriter. I was a director's assistant, and I worked for like an incredible mentor director who mm-hmm. was super super supportive of me.
That's writing, great.
Which I honestly like could not have done it without.
Was
him
it a
saying,
man or a
it
woman?
It was a man.
Oh, okay,
saying like,
that's
go
nice.
Ahead and you know go off and do that pitch today or whatever. But I had the hardest time making that transition because then you'd go from like getting people water to like getting in your car, driving over to Paramount, getting out and. Another assistant is now.
Asking,
hi, Morgan.
Hi, yeah.
They'll be right out. Can I get you a water, a coffee, a tea? Yeah. And I'd be like, oh my God, I was
it's
getting coffee this literally this morning. I got someone coffee, and now you're getting me coffee. Like, and you don't realize that I'm you.
Yeah.
You know,
it was really eye opener for me to see why celebrities get so out of touch,
mm-hmm.
and these big directors and producers get so out of touch with, their behavior because everybody is so like lapdog. What
yes.
can I get for you? What can I get for you? And it really is like that. And it's shocking to me that then they're making millions of dollars on top of that. And they're, you know, getting treated this way. That's not to say I'm not looking forward to that someday.
No, absolutely.
When I'm a huge famous star. But
some of my favorite people are huge famous stars.
Right.
And, you know, there's, even when you want to be in touch, mm-hmm. I think there's like a level of like, you cannot be in touch. You
no.
know, you can, I feel like Gwen Stefani said this, that you like freeze mentally when you become famous. Like she will be like 17,
she'll be 17
forever.
Oh my gosh.
Because that's where people start treating you totally different. So you lose the life experience.
Yeah.
So I think
what does
that
say about child actors then? Those kids that have been doing this since they were 8. Like, is that why Leo isn't married yet, do we think?
Maybe.
Because he got famous. He started getting famous when he was like 10, 12.
Maybe he doesn't want to get married, you know?
Maybe he's gay. Have you heard that? Have you heard this rumor?
I've definitely heard that rumor.
Why does everyone think that because he's not married at 40-something...
Like, I mean, I think it's fine. He's Leo, you know? Like,
do whatever.
I also feel like it's just real hard for big A-list celebrities to maintain relationships.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them if they're... I mean, obviously, I think that you should, you know, throw caution to the wind and go for the love of your life. But I don't find it surprising that people would be cautious about that.
Sure. Was Leo the one that said you smell like a hamster?
No.
Would you tell me if he was?
I would. Ryan Reynolds was my first friend on MySpace.
Oh my God, I love him so much. So
that's a good one that I feel like is totally like clean and good.
He seems like such a nice,
he's a very nice
genuine
person.
I think it's because he's Canadian.
He's very Canadian.
Except
I just bumped into him. I went to the MTV Movie Awards.
Yeah.
And I saw him there for the first time in years. And I was like, oh, you can't place me. But I wasn't going to tell him who I was because It was kind of fun because he was like...
Was he like, I know you from somewhere?
Even
or
we were talking like, hi, big hug, how are you? But I was like, oh, he doesn't know.
Oh, no, that's so... Oh, no. Oh, my God. That's
which,
my fear.
Which maybe he did and he just like couldn't pull my name out or something.
And
but
he's like, no, I know you. But
my friend, my mentor was like, well, why did you tell him? You know, we worked together, blah, blah. And I was like, no, because it was so funny to me.
Oh, my God. You're evil. I love it, though. I love that you
Sorry, Ryan.
With Ryan Reynolds. Also, I love you think Ryan Reynolds is listening to
right?
my podcast.
Ryan Reynolds used to fuck with me a lot when we worked together, so
oh,
I don't
wait,
feel bad
so did
about
you work
it.
Together at the management company?
No,
or?
We worked together when I was a director's assistant.
Oh, okay.
We did a movie together.
You did a movie together. Mm-hmm. Was it Just Friends?
No.
All right.
It was shot in Canada on location.
All right.
But it was not Just Friends.
It was called
Chaos Theory. It's not a secret.
Oh, okay.
It's not. It
I know. I was like, I'm trying to guess.
It's on Netflix.
and
I'm in it. If you look at it, I have. It's my only like.
You have a little cameo.
Experience is that I have.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I'm like a featured extra in the opening scene.
I'm
pouring the tequila. If you're Netflixing it right now.
If you're Netflixing it right now, do it. I've always liked Ryan Reynolds, and I just saw Deadpool, like everybody else in the world.
I haven't even seen it. That's
really
embarrassing.
It's so perfect.
And I know I'm
going to
love
him.
It. I mean,
yeah.
And he was trying to make that movie
for years
when I worked with him.
Oh,
he
really?
Was talking
yeah,
about
I've
Deadpool.
Heard it's been like a decade or something.
Yes.
Crazy long amount
yes.
of time.
So we worked together in 2005, and he was talking about
wow.
it.
Wow. It's perfect for him. Like, it is the perfect movie. Like, this character is
because
is
he has that mouth. Like,
yeah.
The merc with the mouth is
yeah.
him.
Yeah. That's totally him. It was great. And it was, you know, and everyone's like, oh, it's so violent. And my husband wasn't sure if I would like it, but I was like, no, I liked it. But what I loved watching, and this is so weird, but after we watched it, I started Googling Ryan Reynolds like you do. And I was like, Chris was like, yeah, so weird that he dated Alanis Morissette. And I was like, that I was totally forgot the, about that. Time. So I Googled, I was like, why did they break up? I wonder if she wrote songs about him. And I went totally down this Google rabbit hole.
Did she?
Yes.
She wrote songs about him?
She wrote a song about breaking up with Ryan Reynolds that I'm going to cry just right now thinking about. It literally.
I mean, they were like very serious. They lived together. Yeah. They like were together for years.
You should, if you get a chance, Google the song that Alanis Morissette wrote for her breakup with Ryan Reynolds. It will literally make you cry out your vagina. It's so sad. And I was like, oh God, why did they break up? Like he broke up with this beautiful, mature, possibly crazy woman,
Canadian,
and now he's he's dating this like gorgeous hot. Oh, wait,
he's married. That, he's been married twice since then.
Yeah, I was gonna say I forgot he was with the other hot.
He married Scarlett Johansson. Yeah, Scarlett Johansson. And then now he's married to Blake Lively.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you look at where
let's talk about L.A. face and an Oakland booty for a second.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Why were people so mad?
People
about
were
that?
Real mad about that.
So Blake Lively posted this picture of her. Was it at the Met?
I think at the Met Gala. Yeah. No, at Cannes. I was at Cannes.
At Cannes. Yeah, yeah. Because it was more recent than the Met Gala. And she posted a front shot of her side by side with a back shot of her
I think maybe
booty.
She's pregnant. Is that true? I might have made that up. So. I make things up.
I
don't
think
even
that
listen.
He said no one listened.
I am not a celebrity reporter.
It'll be on BuzzFeed tomorrow. 10 reasons why
disclosure,
we think
disclosure, I am
Blake
not
Lively
a celebrity reporter.
No, and she posted this thing that said LA face with an Oakland booty because she thought her butt looked really badonky donkey, I guess, mm-hmm. in this picture. Mm-hmm. And like everybody was like, how dare you? You're racist.
People were like, oh my God, Becky, are so racist.
You are so racist, which is really funny. I just thought it was a funny, like, you know, she's quoting, I quote rap lyrics constantly in my life. So I would hate for someone to be like, you're racist.
I just I felt for her when that mm-hmm. happened because I was like, wow, the song lyrics, like, I don't
that's
know.
That's why I'm saying the internet has given people, I've said this before, the idea that they have, that their opinions matter. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They don't. Ultimately, they don't.
I think the internet has done some beautiful things for us, mm-hmm. which is like allow us
like
to.
Like Chewbacca mom. Not better.
And the dress.
Yes. Oh my God, the dress.
Oh, that was the best day, actually.
I stared at that for hours.
I don't know how people saw white and gold. I never saw white and gold.
Oh, I saw them both. I saw black and blue at first. And then as I stared at it, my husband just saw the white and gold. That's all he saw.
Really?
And I was like, I don't get it. And I stared at it. And as I was staring at it, I watched it change. And I was like, someone is in my mind. The Chinese have taken over through my Xbox like I knew they would.
I mean, and I will verify for you. People thought that was a gift, but it was not.
It was not a
gift.
It was
a picture.
It was a straight up picture. Mm-hmm. And I understood I read all about the retinas and all that ish, but it totally effed with my mind.
But so, yeah. So the internet has given us some beautiful things. Like, I think the opportunity to connect with people that we normally would not connect with and hear from people and communities that we normally would not be exposed to.
That's true.
And I feel like I have grown personally as a person in a lot of ways through my internet community mm-hmm. and having their perspectives and their life experiences, you know.
So are you still doing screenwriting then? Because after you sort of went through, you know, your short film and then all of the BS with the, you know, management company,
I know,
directors.
All the BS. I don't know. So Hollywood is so mean, you guys. I mean, am I doing screenwriting still? I'm still represented. I'm writing a screenplay right now. Mm-hmm. But it's about postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to sell it. I want to make it.
Yeah. That sounds like it's going to be a tough.
It's yeah. Sell. Well, that would be it would be an impossible sell. Yeah. But
let's not say impossible. Nothing is impossible. It sounds like you're going to have a lot of people go, I don't know.
Come on, it's like Mom Interrupted. Like, what's not to love?
Is that the title?
That can't be the title.
Come on, you heard it here, folks. Mom Interrupted. It should just be Mom, I don't know. Like, I'm going to help. All right, I'll work on it. Okay. I'll think of other titles.
Think about a good title.
I'll think about other titles.
But, like, this is so Hollywood. This is, like, just my life. So 3 weeks after I started at BuzzFeed, I got a call from my manager telling me that I had sold a screenplay.
What?
That was 7 years old. And it was for a good amount of money that I was psyched for. I was like, I'm going to buy a house. Like,
that's fantastic.
And we did the whole deal and, you know, went through the whole process. And just like every deal I've ever had before it, it just disappeared.
Oh, no.
Like, literally, no one knows what happened. They just, like, it disappeared.
Who was trying to buy it?
I don't know. Should I say that?
Oh, it's
is that
to
weird?
You. I don't, you don't
know.
Want to say
it. It was Hallmark screwed me.
Hallmark screwed you.
And you know what? All I cared about was that I really wanted my Twitter bio to say BuzzFeed editor, Hallmark movie of the week writer. And they robbed me of that opportunity.
Oh, no. There's still time.
But I just, like, when that happened, I was just like, you know what, Hollywood? Why did you come after me just to dump me again? Like,
you know, I've heard that happens. Like, screenwriters will get so excited they're going to sell something. And then for whatever reason,
I've sold the same screenplay 3 times.
Oh, jeez.
And you can't call that selling.
No.
Because I didn't collect any money.
That makes me not want to write ever.
But I've been told that we are going to buy this screenplay and had deals written up.
Wow.
3 times.
What about TV? TV still not appealing to you?
TV is super appealing to me now.
Oh, now? Yeah. So things have changed. Because
yes,
TV, so is
have
because TV is
changed.
So much better.
It's like the golden age of television.
Totally.
I think I should be so lucky to work in TV. Mm-hmm. I would love nothing more than to be like directing television shows.
And hiring Heather Brooker.
And hiring Heather Brooker as the star of all of them.
All of them.
I want them all to be about labor,
moms.
And I want,
yes,
Heather Brooker to get
just
shot in,
water
the face
in the face
with water every time.
Please.
Which doesn't make sense to you, but it will.
I think that's great. Honestly, TV right now is so interesting, but it's not just TV. I mean, we say TV, but really it's also Netflix and Hulu, all the online streaming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Content.
I think that's mm-hmm. what's making it so exciting,
yeah,
is that.
Does BuzzFeed want to do like a TV channel? I know they do videos, but would they ever do like BuzzFeed TV?
BuzzFeed has.
Does that exist already?
It doesn't exist. I don't. And, you know, I'm not that
credit.
Privy. I'm not that privy to that stuff.
I want credit if it happens, because I feel like I just came up with it.
I would say that BuzzFeed is heading in that direction of becoming a fully functioning studio.
I can totally see that.
You know, but I don't think there's BuzzFeed TV yet, but I think that we will see BuzzFeed TV. In the future.
I think so too. Whether it's online mm-hmm. or like actually in your cable box.
Well, I don't think cable boxes are going to be a thing pretty soon.
I'm really fascinated too, because I work for local news. I've worked, mm-hmm. I've been a news producer and writer for ever. And I'm really fascinated to see what is going to happen with local news in particular.
Interesting. Yeah.
And cable outlets, because even your networks like CBS are now saying, oh, we're releasing this new Star Trek TV show, but it's only going to be available through our online channels.
So interesting.
So Star Trek, of course, every mm-hmm. Star Trek fan is coming out of the woodwork because they want to watch it, and they're all going to watch it through their streaming channel, of course. So to me, that says CBS, and I think CBS said that they might release it on their regular channels like in the spring of next year. So I'm really curious to see if that's going to start being a trend where networks are going to go, okay, we'll keep these old staples on like CSI. Jesus, mm-hmm. help us. It's like going on season 30.
Oh my God.
We're going to keep CSI on the air for all the old folks who still like it. But all this new content we're going to start doing online. And eventually we're all going to be like Wall-E.
I mean, look, old people are going to die. And then who's going to buy cable?
That's true. Because cable is so expensive.
It's just like we cut our cord because we were like, you know what we're spending?
Did
like,
you really?
We did. And now
did
we
like,
do.
Did you like it? Do you think it was a good choice?
It's great. I have no, it's fine. The shows that we cared about, we ordered the subscription mm-hmm. for their like, you know, ABC app or whatever.
Did you do like HBO Go and like, you know, all of that stuff? So you do all of those individually then?
And it's still less than what I was paying for a package.
Shut up. I have to do that.
It
then.
Is.
I'm
so,
getting
And also,
such a raw
I pick
deal.
And choose by season, right? So like, if HBO has a show I want to watch, I'm paying for HBO Go. If it doesn't have a show I want to watch, then I'm not paying,
I'm paying for it.
Right.
So it's not like you're locked into contracts and stuff like
no.
that.
No. I mean, which I guess, you know, you're kind of not really with TV either, maybe.
We are locked right now into an AT&T UVerse contract that we signed when we first got our house. Mm-hmm. And it's not up for another like 7 or 8 months or something. So we have to keep paying this ridiculous rate until that's over. But then AT&T, bye-bye.
It's been fine. Bye-bye. I've watched every presidential debate streaming online.
Yeah.
I mean, sporting
Everybody's
events.
Getting their stream, news online.
It's fine, yeah. So that's what I think will happen with local news, too, is I think those websites will become the destination. You know, just like we're seeing, I think, with print magazines, that their websites are becoming more of a destination, that they're releasing content exclusively on their website.
I just can't imagine a world without the local news at night, without people knowing at 6 and 10 or mm-hmm. 6 and 11 or whatever, mm-hmm. they can sit down and watch their favorite news anchors tell the news of the day.
I think they're just going to start to know that at 6 and 10... the episode at 6 p.m. the episode will be available,
yeah.
And at 10 p.m. a late breaking episode will be available.
Yeah, interesting.
And I actually think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
you know, because there's so much horrible shit on the news. Like,
you know, you're not gonna offend me. I know. I write about murders constantly, and like people dying in fires. Like that's what I do. So that's why I get to come here on my podcast and talk about fun, crazy, ridiculous things like how dreamy Ryan Reynolds is. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. The news is a bummer. This presidential election, the whole race
is
a huge
scariest
bummer.
Thing ever. This is legitimately the scariest thing ever.
Everyone in the country is like shitting themselves right now over this election and like what is going to happen. And it's terrifying. So, yeah, I know, you know, the news is not a great, it's not a lot of fun to watch. Although that being said, you know.
But, I mean, I love bummer shit and I love the news. So
you love bummer shit. What spit?
Like, I will read about murders all day long, and that is awesome. I mean, it's not. It's terrible.
It's not. I'm like, what?
That is awesome. I love murders.
I will read about murders all day long.
But that is actually, I mean, that is sort of, you know, goes back to mm-hmm. mental health stuff.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I think that sometimes when you're having a hard time dealing with your own
issues, yeah,
sometimes it's a release,
yeah,
to like tune into someone else's problem.
Now, because you have been through so much with, did you call it postpartum depression or was it like during your pregnancy? When were you experiencing the majority of?
I became depressed at about 22 weeks into my pregnancy.
Really?
And then I remained depressed until January of 2016.
So, wow. So it was like years of like.
It was a long time.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
I had like, you know, moments of remission or a couple of uh-huh. months where I would feel better. But it just, I did not really get ahead of it until mm-hmm. I found the right mental health team.
Yeah. Did you find that you had to medicate or was it a hormone balance thing?
I am medicated.
Okay.
I'm still medicated.
Mm-hmm.
I've been medicated for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've changed medications several times.
To try to find what worked
yes.
and what didn't.
And I will tell you that finding the right medication is life altering.
Yeah.
I mean, finding that was part of what happened this, you know, why I say January 2016. Well, I changed medications in January of 2016 to something that worked for me in a way that nothing has ever worked before.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I would cry over my lost personality. I felt like I had lost the person that I was before and that I would never get that person back and that I would never be able to operate at the level of productivity that I was able to before depression.
Right.
Because I did not struggle with mental health issues before my pregnancy at all.
What do you think triggered it? Do the doctors think it was something that was like hormone related or you know, because I know a lot of women go through that when they're pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, I was laid off from my day job the week that we conceived.
Oh, wow.
And even though I hated it and even though my screenwriting career was picking up and even though I told myself this is great because now you can focus on screenwriting full time.
It's still a job. It's still a.
It's a mind fuck.
Yeah, it's
and,
totally.
You know, I think, I mean, by 22 weeks, I was lying on my bathroom floor thinking, like, this is it. This is what life looks like now. Like, I will never be successful. I will never make more money than I have made right now. I will never move out of this apartment, you know. And I just felt like, oh, I've ruined this child's life. It's not even born yet. This poor child is getting this shit lot. Like, what a nightmare. But the thing about depression is that, and specifically that, like at that time for me, it was so organic. The things that I was telling myself felt very true. So to say like, oh, well, I'm unemployed. So of course I feel like a loser. I am a loser. Mm-hmm. That's not true, you know,
right.
But that was, it seemed very believable to me. So I didn't identify it right away.
Was it hard to see friends who were pregnant being so joyful and fun and like having the best day of time of their life? And
lucky for me, nobody that I knew had kids yet.
Really?
But you know what was really hard was that my best friend had a child. Mm-hmm. She is married to an older guy. Mm-hmm. And she thought when I became pregnant that like, oh, thank God, you know, we're going to get to bond over this.
Right.
And that was a really hard thing for our relationship because she didn't understand what happened. She thought that I had just sort of
disappeared.
She was like, she said to me, I just thought you didn't want to be my friend anymore.
Yeah.
And I didn't know why. And the reality was like, I couldn't pick up the phone. The thought of picking up the phone and calling someone was so overwhelming. It would make me nauseous. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel very lucky that there are people in my life, my friend Sarah included, who stuck by me, mm-hmm. who, when I came out and said, here's what's been going on, they forgave me for, you know,
disappearing. Or seemingly not disappear.
You know, just for not holding up my end of the friendship for that time.
Oh my gosh. Period. But with friends, like, but who does? I mean, honestly, and even when there's not a postpartum, you know, situation, like, who really is like the best friend all the time? Like, we all fail in some way at our friendships.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's great that you had friends who were willing to understand and stick by you.
Yeah. But I think that for me, that was the scariest part, was that I was a person who considered myself to be an excellent friend and very reliable. I would drop anything for you. I would show up when you needed me. And when I stopped being able to show up for people,
that's hard.
That was like, that felt like the biggest loss.
Yeah.
Is that I was like, I don't know who I am if I'm not supporting other people. And, you know, I think that was part of the problem.
Right. But I mean, it sounds like, you know, I obviously haven't, you know, been through this, so I don't want in any way, you know, belittle it in any way. But it sounds like it was just one thing sort of piling on top of another, like guilt and, you know, anger.
Yeah. And things like job loss.
Yeah.
Are put you at risk for postpartum depression. Things like major life changes, things like being under financial stress, those put you at risk.
Right.
So women in underserved communities have a much higher rate of postpartum depression.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah.
Because
all of those factors.
Yeah. All of
those.
It's the scariest thing that's could ever happen to you. And your life is changing forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out of your control at a certain point. And you want to do right by this child. You want to provide the best life possible. But sometimes it feels like there are so many things stacked against you. And I think the more things that are in reality stacked against you, the more likely you are to, you know, slip into that place.
So where do you see this story going? I know, since you're coming back to your storytelling, you know, your screenwriting. So where do you see, because it seems like, at least from what I've read online about it, like some people go, oh, I had it for a couple of years, or I had it for 6 months, or I had it X amount of time. And, you know, I know you said that you struggle with it for quite a bit longer. And where do you see this story going? Do you see... I know you're going to be doing a charity walk or a hike.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. Thank you, Heather. On June 18th, it's called Climb Out of the Darkness.
Yes.
And it's happening all over the world. It's part of an incredible organization that saved my life, literally saved my life, called Postpartum Progress.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done it for the last, I want to say this is the fourth year, but I could be wrong. It might be the fifth year. I think it's the fourth. I want to say it's the fourth year.
Yeah.
And, it keeps this incredible organization going. In the last 3 years, they've been able to go from a one-person operation to a five-person operation with a fully functioning board. They have ambassadors that reach out to moms that are struggling. It's really incredible what they do.
That's great.
And for me, I would not be alive if I did not have a community of women who understood what I was going through.
Right.
I had postpartum depression and postpartum OCD, and the OCD was I was obsessed with how shitty I was. So
you were just constantly beating
yourself
up.
Just all day long, every day. They have more than me. They're better than me. They're smarter than me. I'm failing at this.
Oh, my God. And to be in Hollywood, in a town where everybody is constantly flaunting how great everything is about their life. And especially online as a mommy blogger where, like we said at the beginning of the show, everybody just posts the highlights, the best 10% of their lives online. Mm-hmm. So it seems like everybody's living such wonderful, fantastic lives. To be watching that happen and going through something like that must have been awfully difficult.
It was crazy. You know, it was, I mean, mental illness is a crazy thing. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't use the word crazy, but I do.
I know.
All the
time. Please don't be offended, everyone.
I'm sorry. I know.
It's a word that
someone called me out on it recently. I was like, what's the craziest thing that's happened to you as a parent? And she was like, well, I hate to use the word crazy. And I was like, oh, you're totally right. And I should know that.
But that's okay. Sometimes words they apply. Like,
and
sometimes
I say
things are crazy. So.
I say crazy and insane all day long. Yeah, and I am crazy and insane, fine.
No one judge us for using the word crazy. All right.
But what were we talking about? My glass of wine is almost empty.
I know. Ugh, more wine. No, we're just talking about your climb out, your postpartum friendships,
so
your relationships.
Climb out, yeah. So if you want to know more about Climb Out of the Darkness or donate to the cause, which I really hope you do, you can go to the 818.com right now, and it's on the front page.
Yeah.
Or you can go to postpartumprogress.org. And if you're struggling with postpartum depression, the most important thing you can do is meet other moms who have been there and who are there. So if you're in LA and you are in that place, please consider coming on June 18th to Griffith Park and meeting other moms who have gone through what you're going through and survived it, which you will do. You will survive it.
I think that's important, too, is to let people know there is light at the end of the tunnel, even if that tunnel seems so far and long.
But you know what? In the 6 years, my daughter's going to be 7 this year. In the 6 years that I have been dealing with mental health issues, I started my own business. Mm-hmm. I was able to become complete. Ooh, I hear a baby crying.
I know, it's Channing. It's almost her bedtime, so she's probably like, why can't mommy put me to bed? Suck it up, Channing. We're talking.
We're talking about mommy stuff right now.
So you were able,
So I was able to build a business. I was able to get a job at BuzzFeed.
That's amazing.
I've had a lot of incredible things happen in my life during that time, not to mention I have an incredible daughter who I wouldn't trade back for anything in the world.
Right.
I think that there are a lot worse things that can happen to you than dealing with depression or dealing with OCD. And as long as you know that you're not alone in that, and as long as you have a community of people who get that, I think you're going to be just fine.
I think.
And just don't let anyone shame you. Fuck that. There's no shame in it. It's just, life is hard.
You should be shamed if you're wearing pants that are too tight. Or like,
oh my God, buy clothes in your size.
Buy clothes in your size, but you should not feel shame for having something that is beyond your control, like an emotional reaction and feelings and things like that happen beyond your control. Whenever you're pregnant, whenever you're in your postpartum, those types of things. And I think it's really great that you're helping to get the word out about it, because I've had friends who, since I've had my baby, who have experienced it. And
one in seven women. I mean, it's, a lot of us. That's like 15% of us.
It is. And it's
a lot. And those are the people that are talking about it or being, you're acknowledging
it. I think there's probably some women that don't recognize what it is that's happening to them. Honestly.
I think a lot of people just feel like, oh, motherhood is really hard.
It's really hard. Yeah.
And that's not untrue. It is really hard. Being a parent is really hard. But if you feel miserable more often than you feel happy, or if you're unable to feel happy, that is more than just things
hard
happening in your life.
That's more than just like hard mom stuff, lack of sleep, all of that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. I really do want to encourage everybody to go to Morgan's blog, the818.com. She has posted some information on there about her climb out. And what's the hashtag? Climb out?
climb out, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what you wrote across, emblazoned
that
on
is what
your
I
chest.
That is what I wrote on my chest in my Facebook profile picture.
I love
picture.
It. So everybody, make sure you go and check
out. You
know,
I think the hashtag is actually COTD 2016.
Oh, what did you, did I read something
different? No, I wrote
on your
climb
chest?
Out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I just might be, I just do what I want.
Fuck it, I'm rewriting this. I'm writing a better hashtag. Because honestly, that's a better hashtag. Climb out is a better hashtag. It's a little more memorable. Just saying. What can we expect to see on BuzzFeed in the next like few weeks? Do you guys go day by day in terms of like what the kids are talking about, what the parents are talking about?
Oh my God.
There's so much mom stuff that's about to explode, like with Bad Moms coming out. Mm-hmm, I feel like the parents,
which was written by men,
by a couple of dudes. I know.
I mean, hi, Morgan Shanahan available for hire.
I know. I just honestly do not understand how that happened exactly, but I'm curious to see the movie.
But I love Kristen Bell and Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
And Catherine Hahn. And
I mean,
I think
let's talk about,
hilarious.
I mean, Catherine Hahn's amazing, but let's talk about Mila Kunis. I mean, come
I'm
on.
Not a fan.
Right. Like, I think she is gorgeous, but when I think of like a harried mom who is like stressed out and having a shitty day, mm-hmm. I do not think of Mila Kunis.
I like her because she got up and did this like "We Are Not Pregnant" speech on one of the talk, like late night talk shows that she
right.
did while she was pregnant, mm-hmm. and I was like, you know what, girl, I think we would be friends. You're cool,
right? She seems like she's cool. I just think in terms of casting, it's maybe mm-hmm. not. That's like that's Hollywood's version of the harried mom, in my
right.
opinion, of this like gorgeous, breathtaking.
Right.
You know,
she would definitely be 60 pounds heavier in real
right,
life.
Right, exactly. In my world, she would be eating Oreos and like be super skinny and like whatever.
My daughter told my husband to put the Oreos somewhere where I couldn't find them.
Oh, no. That is rude. That's
so rude.
She should be grounded for
right?
that.
She is grounded.
How dare you?
And then she found the open Milano's bag.
Oh, no. I love Milano's.
On my nightstand, which is so bad.
Oh, my God. I love it. I have.
It was empty and she was like, Mommy.
Oh, no.
I only had one of these. I wanted some of these too.
And you were like, go to your room. Nothing to
like,
see
you're
here.
You're punished.
I have some Milanos in my cupboard. I'm
we're
not going to lie.
Eat them
you were
going to
eat them. Exactly. I am so grateful that you came by to come and be on my little podcast.
Me too.
This has been so much fun. Sweet. And I feel like we've literally covered the gamut of Hollywood and pregnancy and everything.
And so what are you going to see on BuzzFeed in the next few weeks? You're going to see an incredible video called Things That Only Happen When You Give Birth at Home.
Birth at Home? Oh, yeah.
And it stars an incredible actress.
Who could it be?
Named Heather Brooker.
Heather Brooker. I've heard of her. She sounds amazing and really skinny.
She's both of those
things. She's both of those things. Thank you so much for coming on my show and letting me just stick around with you for an hour. I appreciate it.
It's been so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Everybody go and check out Morgan on Twitter at the 818.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter at the 818.
I'm at the 818 on all social media.
On all social media. And then BuzzFeed Parents
mm-hmm.
As well. You don't go to the regular BuzzFeed. Nobody needs that. Just go to the parents one.
BuzzFeed
support
Parents. You can check out BuzzFeed Video on Facebook. You'll see me there.
Oh, yeah. Lots of Morgan videos there. Mm-hmm. So everybody go and do that. Support Morgan. Honestly, everybody's probably already on there because you have millions of followers. And while you're on the interweb, make sure you also go to Motherhood in Hollywood on Facebook and Instagram and MIH podcast on the Twitter twatter. And don't forget to subscribe to Motherhood in Hollywood on iTunes if you haven't already. Sorry, the wine just hit me. Hello.
Ooh.
Make sure you subscribe to Motherhood in Hollywood and please share the show with your friends. I would really appreciate it.
Me too.
Oh yeah, thanks Morgan. Morgan would also appreciate it.
I would appreciate it a lot.
All right, we're gonna go have some Milanos and maybe finish this bottle of wine.
Probably.
Sound good?
Yeah.
And you got to tell me who was the hamster guy.
Oh, my God. Isn't that embarrassing?
It's amazing.
My car smelled like hamster. Oh, so bad. I was like 22.
Oh, my God. I'm dying. I can't wait. All right, you guys. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Mama funny.
Balls.